How's everything going, man?
Ah, it's going pretty well.
Yeah. All right, yeah. I don't have much going on either. My kids.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I started that off like there was definitely going to be more to say. And then I was like, you know, things are going pretty well. There's been
stuff.
Yeah. And then things. Some things around the stuff. Yeah.
Well, we're just in that period where we're waiting for summer, kind of a thing. Like you're in, like my girls have, I think my girls have 5 weeks left. And so they're doing state.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So they're doing like their state testing and everything is just kind of like building up for this. And then I think it'll just be a kind of a downward slope after we finish this testing, I think. So I think the teachers are going to be like, sweet, we bonus. I'm done for the year. Not that that's how I think public teachers act or anything, but you know, is what it is. So, all right, I guess before I put my foot in my mouth anymore, we should probably hit intro and jump into it, huh? Welcome to the podcast, Blue Collar Scholars. Not long ago, a group of brilliant minds met together at a pub to discuss their unfinished works. They recognize the value of coming together around delicious beverages and having meaningful conversations. That group was known as the Inklings. The Inkledoo podcast here, we're working to be the second iteration of that group. So pour yourself a craft beverage, pull up a chair, and join the conversation. All right, have you at least had something interesting to drink while doing all of those exciting things?
Yeah. You know, I tried a beer called King Crispy from Deschutes. And someone was telling me about like this style of beer, crispy, and like, like, yeah, okay. And so I was picking up some stuff for a family shindig with my girlfriend's family, and her brother was the one who had mentioned really liking crispy. And so I saw this, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll grab a 6-pack of this and give it a try. And yeah, man, it is a like. I don't know. It's a solid light beer, probably a little bit heavier on some of the toasted notes, which I'm guessing is the reason why the like decal on the can is a toaster riding a bicycle, wearing cowboy boots and a crown and a scepter with a hop on it and a mustache. And it's a weird can of beer, man.
Huh.
But like the beer itself, I don't know. Like it's a good, easy drinker on a warm day. Like it's, yeah, nothing wrong with it. And it was just kind of an interesting thing.
And that's like a new style?
I don't know if it's a new style. Like that seemed to be a source of confusion when I was like asking people about it.
Huh.
Like, so some people... Apparently, when some people talk about a crispy, they mean like it's a particular type of kind of like blonde ale with some extra toasted notes to it. Others, it's more of like a lager or a pils. But like, yeah, I couldn't get a really clean answer. So when I saw one that had crispy as like the name of the beer itself, I was like, okay, cool. I'll bet this is it.
Okay. So it's probably just kind of a... social, cultural, like it one of those things that's picking up, but not like an official style you're going to find.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
It seems to be much more something along those lines. Like there is, my guess is that there was a beer that was described as the flavor being kind of crispy.
Mm-hmm.
And then things got out of hand.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good they're doing something like that's one thing I like about craft beer is that they're constantly innovating because there's no rules. Like they just do weird crap and they, and it's because they can.
100%.
And that's cool. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've had anything that I haven't mentioned in passing. Like I was going to say, the only other thing that I really had was I had that Four Peaks Peach, which. It's okay, you know, not really anything to write home about, but I think that's like the last thing I've really had. I have a whole bunch of stuff in my refrigerator that I've just been cycling through, so like I haven't like haven't done much. I totally the last one I had was like a Voodoo Ranger. It was like the juicy Voodoo Ranger. And you know, New Belgium makes decent stuff. Their variety pack is one that doesn't make me angry, you know, usually. Yeah. So
there's very little in their variety pack that like you feel like this is what they're trying to throw away.
Yeah. Yeah. They always have like the random Voodoo Ranger because they just that style or that design has done them really well. And so they just change the flavor of it and call it a different Voodoo Ranger. But so that's about it. Like, been really boring lately on that front.
Yeah, well, the season's changing. It's about time to move into trying some new ones.
Yeah, that or just my memory is really bad. One of the two, or both. Well, it could be both.
Yeah, I was gonna say it could be a combo factor.
Yeah, yeah. Anywho, so we talked last. We went through my week one outline. Week one. It's really just like day one. I'm doing two classes is all it is. And so I took originally built my plan out to be four classes. And he said, hey, let's do two. And so then I took four classes and kind of condensed them into two. And so we went through that one last week. I wanted to go through it my day two today to make sure that I'm on track because I have not practiced this one. Like I practiced day one.
Sure.
Over and over again, you know, on how to do it. And so I need to spend a little more time with this one than I have, but
totally fair.
Day one is tomorrow. So like I'm at the church tomorrow and I'm interested to see how it goes. Like I think it'll be okay. It'll be okay either way. Like nobody's going to die, you know, like I might throw up in public or something, but like, no, I won't die. So
I might throw up in public. No one's gonna die though. Okay, you know, look, man, it's important to set some baseline expectations. That's not a bad call.
I think once I get there, I'll feel good. Like
It's always you one are of kind things. Of at the spot now with it being like 24 hours away. Mm-hmm. You are at that spot now where it's kind of like. Life will be better once you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
Because right now, you've done all the practice, you've done all the prep work that you actually can. All that's left now is to kind of overthink things.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, that's once you can get in there and, like, just get it rolling, you'll be set.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think just, it's easier when there's people sometimes. Yeah. You know, like, the people are the thing that stress you out the most or stress our me out. Like, I want to make sure I don't put my foot in my mouth, all this different stuff. But, like, really, when you get in front of people, it almost makes it a little easier because they're usually a little bit more gracious with you than you are with you type of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, yeah. Anywho. Okay. So, day one, like, as I've gone over it and after we went over it, I'm hoping, like, I don't state it necessarily like black and white, but the goal was that to reinforce the idea that theology is important because two people, like my conclusion is no two people have the same culture and life experiences. So no two people will ever come to the same conclusion on their own. Right. Mm. So there's just too many variations. And so you dialogue and you do theology to find out what's right and type of a thing. And so that's where we were talking about, you know, like using the Bible, like how do you know you're saved? How do you know these things? How do you know, and asking why to get to the very bottom of it. Sure. And this one, day two, I wanted to do like that one feels like more groundwork, mm-hmm. right? Like it's like how to do it, how to view it as a, you know, defining theology as a discipline, et cetera, et cetera. This one I wanted to do more, actually like do some theology.
Okay.
And so I was going to kick it off straight away with a discussion question, go right into discussions. And my question is are there different types of thinking? Right. And so get them talking about that. Like, is there a different way of thinking? And so I have the yes and no answers on my sheet here. Right. So yes, different worldviews have different presuppositions, so come at topics differently, right? So there are different, literally different ways of thinking. Like, we always say the Eastern way of thinking or the West. Sure. Or like, that's kind of what you're saying. But then I also said no, because, you know, laws of reason are like scientific laws, right? Like, law of identity, law of non-contradiction, like, those things are, regardless, well, you can't, just because you're in China and a Buddhist doesn't mean that something can be A, you know, A must equal A, even in Buddhism, right? Because otherwise, language doesn't make sense. Sure. I know that there's a lot of, like, I'm sure there's somebody that would argue with me.
Oh, they absolutely would. Yes, but 100% true.
But like that, those things, like if you were going to take that position, that would be the point, right? It was like logic, the laws of logic are laws of nature. You can't, you know, that sure. would be that position.
Well, and it is kind of one of those things where it's like, if you are going to take the position that A does not necessarily equal A, then it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I mean, okay, cool. You can hold that stance, but it's impossible to interact with.
Yeah, you can't talk to anybody.
Like, there's no, yeah. So I think that's kind of an interesting way to start, though. Like, because there's also even just the idea of, like, yes, in terms of those frameworks, but honestly, no. Because no matter what framework you're starting with, you are applying your framework, your presuppositions mm-hmm. onto an experienced reality.
Yeah.
And so, like, the process is going to be similar. Because those presuppositions are different, mm-hmm. like, the conclusions you come to will be different. But yeah, right. No, there's a lot of, like, if you get right down to the mechanics of it, and we're talking about, like, different ways of thinking, no, actually, there's, like, one. There's yeah. one way of thinking, and it's like thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly. And then I was going to exactly go through that a little bit and lay out how we talk about, you know, Eastern versus Western, right? So, like, the East comes to different conclusions because they have presuppositions of karma and reincarnation. And so they will come to a different conclusion when faced with the same revelation, right? Because they
sure.
they have these presuppositions of reality. And then the West, we think, quote unquote, right, differently because Christianity has influenced the West. And then even American Christianity, you know, American Western thinking in America is even more influenced by American Protestantism, right? And so, mm-hmm. like, it is unique in that, like, it is the farthest West that thinking has gone. Type of a thing, right? Like, it's different than even the West in Europe, right? Like, America sure. is different. So just yeah, in that, no. again, like, our life, our presuppositions, our all of those things are going to lead us to different conclusions if we just, like you said, apply them to what we see.
Oh, sure. Well, and like the impact that the historical context has on things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, for a long time in philosophy, in European philosophy, you had the continental thought, and then you had what was going on in England, basically. Mm. Because England's island status was enough to kind of have it operating independently and coming to some different conclusions and viewing things differently.
Yeah.
You know, the impact of major historical events, like World War One, mm-hmm. the war to end all wars, until World War Two, and then, like, the kind of existential crisis that there was mm-hmm. in the West about, like, well, now, wait a minute, we've had a couple thousand years of Christianity and we're still doing this crap to each other.
Yeah.
And again, the American experience of that being very different because, like, America was obviously very heavily involved in those two wars. But with the exception of, like, Pearl Harbor, not directly attacked.
Right.
Like, it was a war that we went to.
Yeah.
But not a war that came to us. And so, right. like, the experiences of it were very different.
Yep.
And America, as a result, kind of comes out of it as, like, the superpower. Because mm-hmm. we were on the winning side. And we took fewer losses because we weren't hit at home.
Right.
And so, like, here we are. And yep. now we become the world police and all kinds of stuff. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which then, again, kind of getting into the historical context, right? And so hopefully what I'm trying to build towards is this... anyway, hopefully we'll see if I can build towards it properly. So, like, my historical context for the conversation, like, again, this is a spiritual discipline, so we're going to let history do the heavy lifting and apply that to our current life. So I really liked... That was what you said last week, and I really liked it. I've been using that pretty consistently. Nice. So Rome is physically persecuting Christians, and Greek philosophers are challenging Christianity on an intellectual level, right? So there's kind of like physical persecution plus intellectual persecution, so there's a lot of pressure on the church. So everybody's doing their best to discredit the massively growing religion. The church moves from the apostolic fathers to the apologists. Due to the challenges, response to church, we got a foundation. This is when we get our foundational beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, we start getting creeds at this time. My statement is that, like, during this period, we kind of had our best theology. There was, like, the most pressure on the church ever, and out of it came the best stuff. Not that good stuff hasn't happened since, but, like, like this time we just kind of like, it's that exponential curve, right? Where like the church is small and then it starts exploding. Everybody starts putting pressure on it and it just like ramps it up even higher and faster for like the first, you know, few hundred years of the church.
Well, and I think a big part of it too is that idea that it's definitive. You know, going back to like your opening discussion question, talking about those presuppositions that we bring in. Christianity is now forced to recognize its own presuppositions.
Right.
And so because of that, you know, there again, there's all these things. We don't define things until there's a conflict as a general rule. You know, we didn't really have to, you know, like even again, looking at the way the Gospels played out, like the idea of John really specifically hammering the divinity of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't see that as an issue because they weren't talking to people for whom that was a question. And then afterwards, when John's like, oh, okay, now we've got all these Arian goofballs who are insisting on like an adoptionist philosophy. Mm-hmm. All right, let me just hammer this one down for you guys. Let me put this one right through the board. And so I think like, again, that idea of actual thought on a belief is going to force a recognition of the presuppositions and an evaluation of those. You know, because there were some things that, like, the early church had assumed that it turned out they were wrong. You know, not doctrinally or anything like that, but, like, they thought when Jesus said he would be coming back that he meant, like, in a couple weeks.
Right, right.
You know, and so like recognizing, oh, why did we think that? Were we ever told that? No. Here's the things we thought that meant that. Here's how we misinterpreted that. And so that ability to recognize the presuppositions, to welcome the challenge of them. Like not necessarily excited about it.
Right.
You know, like you said, when the Greek philosophers are arguing with Paul, it's not like Paul is like, oh, fantastic. This is exactly what I've been waiting for.
Right, right.
But he knows, oh, that's what evangelization is. Mm-hmm. They're going to have questions for me. So let's go. Let's see what we can do.
I like that. I think I had it in my expanded outline and I didn't include it here, but you're right. Like, this is a time where we knew a bunch of that. So this is always, this isn't in my outline here, but I was watching videos on, you know, like Muslim street preachers, basically, like attacking Christianity and saying, you know, tell me one church father that believed in the Trinity or spoke about the Trinity. And you know, like, there's actually a ton of them, but they didn't know who they were. But the Trinity is or Christ being God, right? It's one of those things that everybody just assumed was known. Like it just is, right? Until somebody goes, which I think I touch on here, is like, well, Caesar says he's God too. So why aren't you worshiping him? Right? And I do get to that point.
Because he was wrong.
Because, and so then now you're like, okay, well, no, he's not. he's not like that. And no, he's not like Hercules. And no, no, it's different, right? And so now, so, okay, I gotta transition, get into that a little bit more, I think. But that's good. I wrote that down, that Christianity is first forced to, this is the first time we're forced to acknowledge our presuppositions in all of this. Like, we have a lot of Jewish assumptions that Greek, that the Greek and Roman world wouldn't know.
Yeah, that they wouldn't be prepared to roll with.
Yeah.
But I do think, as far as, like, your class goes, like, yeah, introing that. But I would say, for the most part, that would be something, like, have some of the in-depth stuff of that ready in, like, a separate page of notes. Yeah. So if people are, like, really stuck on that, there's a decent chance everyone there is going to be like, well, yeah, no, that makes sense. And so...
Yeah,
feel free
more,
to keep
more for me and framing and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay, so then my first doing of theology. So I begin with creation ex nihilo, right? So we we did an episode not that long ago, because I was writing this outline, is when we did the creation ex nihilo one there. So definition, right? Creation from nothing. Christianity was in a unique position of reconciling Hebrew thought with Greek philosophy. Through the interplay, we laid out the concept of God being the one uncreated thing, the one necessary thing, which all things are dependent on, which came out of that podcast. Like, that's verbatim what we went through, right? Like, that podcast was really helpful to me.
Excellent.
And then it's like, why does creation ex nihilo matter? And I want to ask people to actually participate in that a little bit. But pointing out that it's a critical theological point, because if there's anything that God uses to create, then he is not God. He's not capital G God.
Right.
Right? Like, he's just like one of the Greeks. He's just like one of the demigods. Like, he's not the Almighty.
He's a primordial power of some kind.
Yeah.
He's a creator with a lowercase c.
Right.
Like...
Yeah, and so that's different. He doesn't have the power to do the things that he says he would do if that's the case, right?
Yeah.
So I moved through creation ex nihilo pretty quick, but hopefully they'll talk. Like, I don't anticipate a lot of challenges from that. Like, I'm not going into evolution or anything like that. I'm just saying, hey, ex nihilo, like, let's get going. If somebody wants to say evolution, I'd be like, well, we're going to talk to somebody else about that.
Right. Like, I'm not, you know, that's a few steps beyond what we're talking about here.
Right.
For super brief summary purposes, evolution isn't contrary to ex nihilo, because, like, that's still that first primordial spark of life, that single cell organism. As long as God created that first cell, then, I mean, it's still ex nihilo. But, yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. And then the second one is, and these ones build, so probably bit off more than I should chew, but that's the Trinity. And so I say the apologists were working to convince the Roman emperor that Christians were not polytheists. Yeah, I didn't even comment here. Like, we still have to do that. We still get those comments. I have listed out here, like, the first explanation, and then I wanted to ask the question, like, have you ever tried to explain the Trinity to anyone, and then ask them how it went, right? Like, because it's hard. It's the hardest thing that we will ever do. But this is kind of where I'm building back towards the different ways of thinking, right? So, like, we have this Jewish way of thinking mixed with Greek way of thinking. Like, Christianity is very unique in that it is both, right? It's Greek.
We baptize everything.
Yeah, it's Greek and Hebrew mixed together, and it's kind of the best of both. But because it has both, you got to fight both, type of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of where I'm building towards this. Like, there's an us versus them, different thought process, because the next point is the logos, right? So the apologists use the Greek word logos. You know, it's a well-known word. The apologists use it for Christ. So now we're going to the Greeks and saying, Greeks, so that you understand what we mean when we talk about the word of God, it's logos for you, right? Like, the cosmic mediator between God and creation, right? Like, that is what we mean when we sit, when we're talking about Christ. It's not a man, God type of a thing. It's a logos, like in a Hercules man, God type of thing.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do hit John 1 there. Talk about, and then I just kind of go into that. The next step of that is Tertullian versus Praxis. That's how I pronounce his name. I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Hey, man, I'll tell you the same thing I tell the kids when they're getting ready for a reading at Mass. Say it with confidence and roll forward.
There you go. That's exactly right. But he was the one that challenged them for worshiping Jesus but not worshiping Caesar.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Tertullian built on the work of the apologists from the Logos and start to lay out how Christ... concept of Logos, how Christ can be God and able to receive worship, so they are not worshiping a man and therefore cannot worship Caesar. And so again, differentiating our ways of thought. Go through that. I go into that a little bit more.
Sure.
With it being like, hey, this is something that Christians always believed, but we've never articulated it. And so that's kind of, I just need to touch that point earlier so that I can call back to it at this point as well.
Yeah. Just that idea of, again, like for Christians, there was never a question mm-hmm. of worshiping the man Jesus Christ. What they were worshiping was the Son of God incarnate as a man.
Right.
And like that difference between the divine melding with and becoming human versus like a human who is elevated to like mm-hmm. a godlike status as a lesser god. You know what I mean? Yep. Like yep. that hierarchy of the gods and that kind of thing. And so you're right. I think that's a good example. And to a certain extent, probably in the Logos example is probably an easier one to wrestle with than the Trinitarian one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even as kind of a bridge into that. Like, well, okay, here's the deal, though. We're not talking about multiple gods with like a hierarchy and a ranking system in them. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about one God who was incarnate as a man.
Right.
And then if that conversation wraps up, then it's like, okay, cool. So let's talk about how in the world that's possible, that we've got these three persons who are one God.
Yeah. So I hit the Logos, and then so I do Ex Nihilo, and then I do the Logos, or Trinity, and then Logos. Should I just cut the Trinity part out?
Mm.
And then because after the Logos, I like kind of make an orthodox statement of Christ is fully God, right? And yeah. Then I go to Irenaeus.
Mm-hmm. No, you got Irenaeus that one.
Versus the Gnostics, because these guys are still around, right?
Yep.
And he goes through on battling them because they say Christ did not come in human form, right? He was like an apparition type of a thing.
Appeared as yeah, if he appeared. A human, yeah.
But then kind of worked through that in how Christ is the second Adam. He had to come in humanity. Otherwise, he cannot be the fountainhead for humanity's salvation, right?
Yeah.
So if he didn't actually show up in human flesh, then he cannot pass his salvation on to human flesh. Like, it doesn't work. So he has to be fully God and he has to be fully human. And that's the mm-hmm. end, my orthodox statement there. Christ is fully man. Yeah. So should I maybe, or I guess I could bring the Trinity around to the end after doing Logos, fully God, fully man, Trinity, or I could just cut Trinity out if we think that's
I might like recommend like a quick mention of the Trinity, like this idea of, you know, reconciling, because it's a great tie-in for what you're talking about with like the Greek and the Jewish mingling mm-hmm. of like we're presenting something that seems absurd to both sides.
Yeah.
The Jews are so incredibly confused by the idea that we are going to claim to be monotheists and talk about three persons. Yeah. And the Greeks and the Romans are going to be so mind blown by the idea that we're talking about the idea that it is just one God, that the three persons thing, that totally makes sense to them. But no, they're co-eternal of the same substance, you know. Yeah. And then if there's time at the end after the Logos and after the Jesus is fully God, Jesus is fully man, then maybe dive in a little bit more on some of the church fathers on that.
Yeah, or just because
that's going to be one of those things. Like,
yeah,
that feels a lot like right in the middle of your talk, opening Pandora's box and like shaking it out onto the floor.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And then just wrapping up here because we're running out of time. So my wrap up is basically on the creeds, right? Like then we wrote down creeds, and I think that it's, you know, pointing out that, you know, all out of the three big groups, right? Orthodox, Roman, and Protestant, like everybody argues on the canon. Nobody argues on the creed, right? Like the creed is not like nobody disputes the creed because the apostles were the ones that wrote it. So like apostolic tradition is real, right? Like, and that teaching was real. And so the, just kind of pointing out that the creeds were written before we had a perfect canon, right? Like, so everything was kind of laid out there. But then my discussion question is just like, what value is there in orthodoxy and theology as a spiritual discipline, which was like a, I think that was supposed to be like a summary at the end of my fourth day. But now that I'm doing 2 days, like maybe I should cut that discussion question and put the Trinity in there and be like, hey, have you ever tried to explain the Trinity? How did that go?
I think that's a really good closing after talking about the creeds. Because it's like, I might even change the question to explain the Trinity without using any of the statements in the creeds. Go for it.
Yeah.
Let's see what you can do. And kind of like pointing out, like, this is the value of how theology builds, is that like, no, we don't have to redefine the Trinity because it's been laid out for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, God the Father is the creator. God the Son came to redeem. The Holy Spirit is like moving and guiding us in this time between Christ's ascension and second coming.
Yeah.
And so like, we don't have to start from scratch. We've got this. And now we can take that, and our job is, and our theological job now is, how do we apply these known truths in our new circumstances? And like, how do we make them known to others? How do we, how do we make it accessible to people with different presuppositions?
Yeah. That might be a good one too, kind of like, like ask them to check like what are some of your presuppositions. Like I wonder if anybody's ever like
it's worth putting it out there. I will say one thing that can come in handy for things like that. Sometimes people are and you'll have a better sense of this after your first class tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You'll get kind of a feel for how they do on the interactions and stuff.
Yeah.
But if a group has a hard time saying like their presuppositions, you know, kind of like when Christ asked, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Cool. Lots of answers coming from all over the place.
Yeah.
Who do you say I am? Crickets until Peter says, you are the Christ, you know? And so similarly, like if they're a crew that has a hard time maybe stepping into ownership of their own presuppositions. Okay, what are some of the things you've run into? Like the assumptions that people are clearly just working with that they don't even necessarily realize they're holding as a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Like what are those brick walls you've run into with conversations where someone just has already decided this is how it is?
Yeah, yeah. Or just like maybe just go through different experiences that maybe I can get somebody to share like, hey, I tried to explain this one time and this is how it went, or these are the questions they asked and something like that.
And then like talking it out like, okay, so what are some of the unstated things in the background of those questions that explain where the challenge is coming from? And yeah, farm out the work like, okay, what are you guys hearing in that? that could be a lot of, that could lead to some really good conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, in terms of kind of bringing things to a life lesson for me, I think, again, that's what's so important, is this idea of recognizing presuppositions, our own and the ones that we're hearing from others.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if I don't know where that barrier is, if all I know is I'm hitting a wall, but I don't know what that wall is, it's really difficult for me to find the door or the window in it that I can get through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also right now, because again, during this whole time, this is one of my, you know, the fun thing is, you know, like they accuse Christianity of all kinds of terrible things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's people that will try to establish your presuppositions for you, right? So they will tell you what you believe, even though they have not heard you say anything, you know? And so being aware, presuppositions is not just what you assume to be true about reality. It's also understanding what they assume to be true about reality, because there are groups that believe something about me, you know, let's say just because of the color of my skin and that I'm male, you know, type of, then they're gonna be like, oh, well, therefore you are this. Be like, well, no, that's not how that works. You know, like, and so presuppositions are something to be very aware of. So maybe I'll, that might be, it's kind of what we kept coming back to, but might write it real big on the top and retailer this a little bit. Dang it. That's okay.
Hey man, I would not invest too much energy into retailing it until you've gone through the class tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because after tomorrow, you'll have a much better feel for who this group is.
Yeah.
How they interact, what actually pulled good responses and engagement out of them. And what were the things it was like, you know what? Actually, that's probably something I would need to really revamp my approach if I'm going to try and get anything out of this particular angle.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. No, this has been helpful because, like I said, I think I was trying to do one thing and I think I would need like the four classes, and doing two classes, I think I might need to just tighten it up just a little bit, take some fluff out. And because I was trying to, like, I had all this good stuff and I'm like, jam it all in there. And, I don't think that's
better to do two things really well than to do four things mediocre.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Yep, I got some stuff to work on that. That feels good, though. Nice. Cool. Right on, man. You got anything else on your brain?
Nah, man, I'm good.
Very cool. All right. With that, everybody, we will say
adieu.